From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Harry Branson at Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company.
Oh, hi, Harry. What's on your mind?
I have a case for you, a very important one.
Good. Tell me about it.
John, did you ever hear of Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote?
Lord, who... Say that slowly, will you?
Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote.
Sorry, I left my kilts and bagpipes on the other side of the drink.
Huh? Oh.
Yeah, feeling real sharp this morning. But what about this Laird Douglas Douglas something or other?
Can you come down here to Philadelphia and see me?
I hate to be so blunt about it, old boy, but what's in it for me?
A nice retainer fee in any event.
Well, good.
And, of course, expenses and your regular commission if anything happens to Laird Douglas Douglas.
Of Heatherscote.
Why, yes.
Okay, Harry, I'm on my way.
Oh, John.
Yeah?
Come down by plane, will you? The first one you can get.
Urgent, huh?
Yes, John. Very.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To Harry Branson at the Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Company, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Following is an accounting of expenditures incurred during my investigation of the Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote matter, whoever Laird Douglas Douglas is, and whether investigation is the proper term at this point, who knows. In any event, well... Expense account item 1, $2,250, air transportation and miscellaneous, Hartford to New York to Philadelphia. For a change, I decided to stay at the Benjamin Franklin, not only because it was convenient to Harry Branson's office on Walnut Street, that is the office of Philly Mutual Liability and Casualty, but because I'd heard it was a nice hotel. It was. And it was convenient to everything else in the center of town. Theaters, good restaurants, nice stores, even a nightclub. Well, anyhow, when I got to my room, I found a half dozen urgent messages that Harry had called. Pretty good indication that his lordship, Douglas Douglas of, or at least this case, was pretty important. So instead of bothering to unpack, I had the bellboy dump my luggage, tipped him, and was standing there debating whether I'd better forego a quick shower and change of clothes when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
John, didn't you get my messages? Why haven't you called? I've been waiting to hear from you. What's wrong?
Hey, take it easy, Harry. I just this minute got in.
Oh. Well, I hope you're coming right on over here to my office. Well,
what's the matter? Something happened to this client of yours?
No, not yet.
But being you, you're expecting the worst, huh? And look, you still haven't told me a thing about this emergency, or whatever you want to call it.
John, it is an emergency, because of the time element. You see, why do we waste time on the phone?
Well, this was your call, not mine.
All right, I'm sorry. I'll be waiting for you.
And Harry, I'll be there. Still knowing nothing whatsoever about what was going on, I decided I'd better be prepared for anything. So I slipped a .38 Colt out of my bag and took it along. Expense account item 2, 65 cents, cab fare. I've said it before when I handled the Amerigo case for him. Harry Branson is a good insurance man, but a worrywart. So I kind of hoped he was making the usual mountain out of the usual molehill this time. However, when my cab pulled up in front of his office building, he was standing waiting on the sidewalk out front. Hey, I keep the change.
Thank you, sir.
John, what took you so long?
Huh?
Thank goodness you're here.
Harry, what are you doing out here? Lose your office or just forget the key?
I almost wish I had. John, we have a problem. A serious one.
Yeah, with Laird Douglas Douglas of,
Heatherscote. He's up in my office now.
Yeah, sounds like international intrigue. Has Scotland declared war on us or something?
This is no time for levity. He's up in the office now, and you must take over immediately. It's a very serious situation. Come.
Okay. Well, now, what's it all about? Has Laird Douglas died and... Oh, no. You said he was up in your office. And I'm sure you don't mean just his body.
Yes, he's there with Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Pyton.
Kelly Van... Huh? Are you kidding?
I certainly am not. You see, she insists that you act as his bodyguard.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Harry.
Unfortunately, or rather fortunately for you, 13th floor, please.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, I said 13th floor, operator. Please, quickly.
Yes, sir.
So, Harry?
Young man, will you please start this elevator immediately?
Gotta wait for the signal, sir.
Signal? This is an emergency. Take off, immediately.
Emergency?
Yes, it involves Laird Douglas Douglas of Heatherscote.
Oh, well, sure, if it's... Who?
Good man, good man.
Okay. Now, you were saying, Harry...
Was I?
Unfortunately something.
Oh, yes, of course. Fortunately for you, she was quite cognizant of the fact...
Who was cognizant?
Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Puyten. She knew about the excellent work you did for us in connection with the Ricardo Amerigo case not long ago. Excellent detective work, she called it.
13th floor.
You remember the case, Ricardo, the concert violinist who disappeared, presumably.
Yeah, I remember.
And your almost intuitive deduction that he wasn't dead at all, but had merely staged the whole thing to make it look as the...
Harry.
Yes, of course.
13th floor.
You mean Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van...
Excuse me, mister, but I'm getting signals from the other floors.
Quite right, you should. As I started to say, John, she is one of our biggest personal policy holders.
Good, good. But hadn't we better get into your office and meet her?
Oh, yes, but I want you to know about the personal premiums. Alone, they run to something over $20,000 a year.
Mister, please.
Well, she is an important client.
Yes, and that's why I didn't...
Mister, will you,
I didn't
please?
Hesitate to accede to her request that you be called in on this case. I called you, and here you are.
Mister, please.
Hmm? Oh, well, get us up to the... Oh, we're here. Why didn't you tell us? Come, John.
Mister, if I was to tell you what I'd like to, I'd...
My office is right this way, John. Come, please.
Hey, look, you better calm down, Harry, and give me the dope on this case right from the beginning.
Yes, I'd better. All right. Mrs. Peter Malcolm Kelly Van Puyten is a very important client, has been for years.
So you said. But there are a lot of things you haven't said, like, what has she got to do with this Laird Douglas character, and why is he so important?
It's this way, John. The policy on him runs to $5,000. No double indemnity, which is good. As a matter of fact, the policy on him was purely a favor to Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten. You know, considering such short life expectancy and all.
No, I don't know. Is he in his dotage or something?
Well, hardly. Or are you being facetious again?
But you said... Hey, how old is he?
His birthday is next month, May 7th, to be exact. He'll be 4 years old.
Four?
That's right.
Short life expectancy?
Of course. You see, John...
Wait a minute. Some horrible disease or something, huh? What's the matter with him?
John, you wanted this from the beginning, so I'll give it to you from the beginning.
Okay, but Harry,
if it hadn't been for Mrs. Van Puyten's own policies totaling something in the neighborhood of $500,000, more in fact,
Harry,
why, we'd never have written the one on Lord Douglas of Heatherscote. So, now we've cleared that up.
Harry, we passed your office 3 or 4 doors ago.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But as I'm sure you understand, I wanted to give you some of the background before you talk with Mrs. Van Puyten. After all, you asked for it.
Yes, I guess I did. But what you've given me so far has landed me smack dab in the department of utter confusion. And I'm beginning to think maybe I have company.
Oh, where? Who?
Right here. You, Harry. Now look. Why don't we quietly stroll into your office and let me get the whole thing from Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten herself? Or better still, from Laird Douglas Douglas.
But you couldn't. Of course not.
What?
At least not from him.
Why not?
John, will you please stop joking?
Who's joking?
This is serious business, very.
Look, Harry.
Yes?
There is one thing I'd like to talk over before we go in to see him, them, somebody.
Yes?
Well, apparently the life and or welfare of this Laird Douglas Douglas is in danger.
Oh, no doubt about it. I thought I'd made that very clear to you.
Yeah, well, you said you've written only a $5,000 policy on him.
That's right, $5,000. And purely
Yeah, I know all about that. Now, look, I don't want to seem crass about it, Harry, but my commission, if anything were to happen to him, wouldn't amount to a hill of beans.
Which is precisely why I told you you will be paid a retainer while you're on the case. A most generous one.
A generous one? By you?
By Mrs. Kelly Van Puyten.
How much?
Well, John, now mind you, this may not require your services for more than a week or so. As bodyguard, that is.
How much?
And, of course, she has authorized an expense account.
Ah.
But, mind you, John, not the usual kind that you seem to have the knack of piling up beyond all reason. Clearly, a completely honest, legitimate accounting...
Harry, how much?
Well, as a matter of cold fact, I have assured her that it will total no more than the amount of the retainer she is prepared to pay you. Any more than that, and, well, you'll have a lot of explaining to do.
Harry, how much is this retainer to be, if I take the case?
I might even go so far... $750 per week, or a fraction thereof, and I am sure you will agree that that... What's the matter, John?
$750 a week, plus expenses, when there's only a $5,000 policy involved?
That's right.
But if this four-year-old Laird Douglas of
Heatherscote.
Yeah. If he's only worth a $5,000 policy, and what was that crack about short life expectancy?
John, I told you he is already 4 years old.
Oh, look, start all over again, will you, Harry?
Yes. No, on second thought, perhaps you were right. Perhaps you'd better get the details directly from Mrs. Peter
Malcolm
Kelly
Van Pyton. I know. Now, look, Harry, I think I'd better. I'd better get them from somebody.
Incidentally, John, you understand, of course, that your services will be required only during the affair at Bala Cynwyd. And not 1 minute thereafter.
No, I don't understand. What's Bala Cynwyd?
Out around Westchester, outside the city, one of the suburbs. Very nice suburb, too. That is where Laird Douglas...
I've had this code.
Yes, John, that is where he will appear.
And you or Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton, or both, if you think his life will be in danger.
Exactly. Oh, John, I knew you were just joking me all the time.
I wish I knew.
Here we are, and everything will be clear.
Yeah.
Oh, thank heavens, dear Mr. Branson. I was afraid something had happened to you. You were gone so long, you really had me quite worried.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I had hoped to tell Mr. Dollar something of this affair, and I'm afraid we loitered on the way up. Mrs. Kelly Van Pyton, this is Mr. John Dollar.
Oh, you wonderful, wonderful man. I'm so glad that you've agreed to take on this assignment. You see, Laird Douglas means everything to me. And I have the utmost confidence in you. I'm sure Laird Douglas will, too.
Well, thank you very much. But where is he?
Why, yes, Mrs. Van Pyton, what's happened to him?
Oh, don't worry, my dear. He's all right. But after all, he is so temperamental. I fear he got a bit impatient waiting for you, and I know you'll forgive him. You will, won't you?
Yes, yes, of course, but where is he?
He's asleep, Mr. Branson, in your inner office. He sat down in your chair and fell fast asleep. Oh, if I could only relax that way. But you must meet him, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, I'd certainly like to.
Of course you would, and I know he'll want to meet you. Gently now. Oh, good, he's awake.
Oh, no. That's Laird...
Laird Douglas of Heatherscote. This is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Hey!
Douglas, no! Somebody. Let go of Mr. Dollar's leg! Douglas, dear! Douglas!
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's, intriguing? Well, tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow? Well, I've handled some pretty doggy cases in my time, but never as a pooch's bodyguard. But suddenly this one begins to smell much too strongly of murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.